Isaiah 59 and verse 8. It says, "The way of peace they know not." When I was in the military, I'm like, that's a military verse right there. Even when I'm working for them, it seems like if we don't have an enemy to fight out there, we will fight on the inside. The way of peace, Bob, he knows. He was there. "The way of peace they know not, and there is no judgment in their goings. They have made them crooked paths. Whosoever goeth therein shall not know peace." That is the way of this world. Do you realize that? That is the way of this world. God has called you to a different way. A new and a living way, He would call it in the book of Acts. When the early disciples, when they would witness to somebody about Jesus, they would ask them, "Do you know the way? Do you know the way of peace? Do you know the way of the Master?" Not the way of this world. It's different. Because in this world, it seems like every single thing that we do, that there's going to be a battle. You think, man, you know, if I just raise my kids right, but it's a battle. They don't want to be raised right. They want to fight the whole time. And it doesn't even make sense. It doesn't matter what science says. It doesn't matter what you say, even though you give them all the food, all the things that they need. There's going to be a battle, it seems like. Maybe it's not always a battle. But if there's not, it's because that person is fighting their own battle inside of them, and they're winning it for you. But Satan doesn't want them to. He doesn't want them to do right. He wants to draw them away, and there's just a constant battle. But Jesus says, "I'm offering you peace. I'm offering you peace." And He rides in this colt, this donkey, to show you, "I have come to offer you peace." You know, we're in my Sunday school class, we're talking about Matthew chapter 5, verses 3 through 9. That verse 9 says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall see God." You know, God, Jesus is saying, "I want you to make peace with your Creator. I want you to see God." Why does it have to be a battle? Why does there have to be a fight? You know, that's what we do. I use this analogy so many times that, you know, think about it. When you're in a battle, when you're in a fight, what do you do with your hands? You clasp them, right? You're holding tight. You're holding back. You're like, "This is what I've got to fight with." When Jesus says, "I don't want you to do that. I want you to release. I want you to give yourself away. I want you to be meek. I want you to be poor in spirit. I want you to walk humbly with your God." That's what He wants. And that's the way that He came in. Came into Jerusalem knowing that the battle was ahead of Him. Knowing that there was going to be a war that was going to be waged. And that and in a few days He was going to end up on a cross, dying for the sins of those with whom He was offering peace. Could He have done something about it? You better believe it. When they came to get Him, they said, "We're looking for Jesus." And He would say, "I am." And then all those guys would go flying backwards. You think He could have got away just by saying, "I am"? It's a good thing He only said that once. Their bodies might have obliterated into nothing. Because the power of His voice, He could have taken away their breath. But He didn't do that. He gave Himself freely because He wanted peace with them. And He wanted them to have a chance. Romans 14 and 19 would say, "Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace." You know, I hope today that you have established that in your own self. That each day when you wake up, that you sit down and you pray before you even get going and say, "Lord, I want my way to be in peace today. I want to follow your ways, not my ways. I want to seek your face, not my own ambitions. And you make peace with your Maker. Now, the next thing that we see here, why the cult? Well, just like Brother Sean said, it happens to be a prophecy. Look in Zechariah chapter 9 and verse 9. This is one of those books of the Bible that we don't go to very often. It's not that long. See, even in mine, the pages are all stuck together in that part. Zechariah chapter 9 and verse 9. It says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly, and riding upon an ass, and upon the colt, the foal of an ass." We see some very unique things here, that not only was it for peace, but he was showing them something else with this, because not everybody rides a colt. You know, even Alexander the Great, he didn't ride a colt. He rode a mature animal that someone had broken. But no, Jesus rides a colt, something young. And here, we see he comes in riding on the colt. And he was doing that to signify something, because he says, Jerusalem, when you see this happen, you're going to know that the person riding it is a just person. This just person. Now I want you to know something about Jesus. In Deuteronomy 32 and verse 4, the scripture will say, "He is the rock. His work is perfect, for all his ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he." You see, Jesus was coming in and he was saying, "I'm just. Yeah, I want to make peace with you guys, but I want you to know something. I'm just." Has anyone ever been to court? Some of you have. Don't you want your judge to be just? Jesus is a just judge. And he is telling those guys, "I'm offering you peace right now, but y'all will be judged. Know that the one who is riding on this colt, he's just, and he comes with judgment." 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 10 says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in this body according that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." Another verse will say, "Every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess Jesus Christ is Lord." You know, sometimes we forget Jesus is just. What does that mean? That means he's a judge. You know, some of you, y'all were children once upon a time, and you know, you lived in a household, and your parents made the decisions, right? They were the judge. And some of you can probably remember a couple times that you didn't feel like that your parents were just. But their judgment stood, didn't it? Jesus is saying, "My judgment is just, and it's going to stand. Everything that you do in this life will be judged, whether it's good or whether it's bad. We're all going to stand before him one day. But today he's offering you peace. He's saying, I can forgive you of those sins. I can wipe away your sins. I can make your slate clean." And he reasons with us today. And when he came into Jerusalem, he was painting a picture for them. They're always looking for a sign, but they're missing the prophecy being fulfilled right in front of their eyes. People don't come into Jerusalem every day riding the foal of a donkey. It doesn't happen. We're going to talk about why in a minute, but they just don't do it. And Jesus says, "I'm just. I'm going to be your judge. You guys, everything that you do on this day, you will be held accountable for, whether it's good or whether it's bad. You know, what if you had to stand before Almighty God today? What if you died like right now and you stood immediately before Almighty God? What would you do? Do you have sins that are unaccounted for? Maybe you haven't really been born again. Maybe you've still been holding back. And you're like, Brother Mitch, you keep talking about that stuff, but I know God is a loving God. You know, there's a lot of loving judges in our world, but the law still holds people accountable. The judge just can't say, because I love you so much, I'm just gonna get rid of it. Somebody has to pay for it. Now, Jesus paid for your sins. He did on the cross. He died for your sins. The blood was shed, because the Scripture says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. Now, there's a whole lot underneath that, but just know for right now, that's the way it is. There is a payment for sin. The wages of sin is death. And your sins have to be accounted for by somebody. If you've been washed by the blood, your sins have been, Jesus has taken care of them. And you should be thankful for that, because you can't. You couldn't die enough times to pay for your sins. The best that you can't be good enough to pay for your sins. Your righteousness is as a filthy rag. It just can't. Jesus is just. Have you made peace with your Maker? Have you said, I realize He's a just God, and I realize I'm going to be held accountable for these things, and you've repented of those things? Now, I don't know if you know what repentance means. It's a military term. It means an about face, where you're going this way, you're sinning, and then all of a sudden, you get to this, you get the message, God wants repentance, and then you do an about face. You turn around, and you're not going that way anymore. You're going this way. You're never going back there again. That sin is done. It's gone. I don't need that anymore. I'm following this way. That's repentance. Has that happened in your life? Is there a day in your life that you can look back and say, that is the moment I was changed? Give you a biblical term for it, born again. Saved by the blood of the crucified one. My sins have been washed. Have you been washed by the blood of the Lamb? That moment that you've been changed. A new creature. Brand spanking new. Isn't that a good thought? And it's all because of Jesus. If that has not happened to you, today is the day of salvation. He is a just God. He is willing to forgive. But if you do not get the forgiveness in this life, you will not get it in the next. And you will die and you will go to a devil's hell that was not made for you. It was made for the devil and his angels. You don't have to go there. You can be saved from the pain, from the penalty of sin. Would you accept it? Would you make peace with your Maker? The next thing we see here is that he has salvation. When you see this person riding in on this colt, on this foal, he has salvation. He has what it takes. Romans 3, 24 through 26 says it like this: being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be the propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, though through the forbearance of God. You see, Jesus has done everything that it takes for you to have your sins forgiven. And you're like, that's too easy, Brother Mitch. Jesus has done all that's necessary. And you may ask, well, what do I need to do? How do I get that? The Scripture says, believe. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Believe with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and believe in your heart that He has raised Him from the dead, and thou shalt be saved. That's Romans 10, 9 and 10. That is what you've got to do, if there's anything that you can really do with that. Because honestly, you don't just come to that conclusion. God gives you the faith. He draws you to that point. What is it that you've done? All that you've done is you said, I can't anymore. I can't do it anymore. I can't save myself. I need help. And you cry out. And you say, God, would you save me? Would you apply the propitiation to me? Would you give me Jesus? And I'm going to surrender my life to Him. I give Him everything. Have you done that? Jesus was offering that to these guys. He said, you will know salvation has been offered to you when you see this event happen. Look what the next part is. It says that person who comes is lowly. Matthew 11:29 will help us understand it a little better. It says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. You know, I know each and every one of you. You're walking around every day, and you've got things on your mind that trouble you. People that you know are messing up, and you want them to do right. And you feel like you've got this huge yoke on your back. And Jesus says, let me take your yoke, and you take mine. Mine feels like you're resting. Why would it feel like that? Why would Jesus say that? He would say it because you could trust Jesus. You know, I wish I could trust myself. But you know, I have to put boundaries for myself. I have to make sure that I don't do certain things. That I hold myself accountable. Sometimes people even need other people to help them and hold them accountable so that they don't do certain things to keep them from going that way. And they've got this yoke on them. And Jesus says, I could take all that away, but you've got to trust me. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is a big enough God that He can take care of your needs? Do you think He's big enough that He could take care of those things? Jesus would tell His disciples, He said, look at the field. It's clothed with flowers. If God will take care of the field, He'll take care of you. You see the sparrow that's hit the ground? Not one of them falls to the ground without the master's notice. Yet, aren't you more precious than a sparrow? The psalmist would say that He knows every hair on my head. He knows how many you've lost. He knows everything about you. Do you trust Him? Jesus is lowly. And He's not coming in as this great conqueror. He's not coming in saying, you must do what I say. What He's doing is He's saying, would you come and let me lead you? Would you follow Jesus? Would you take His yoke upon you? Would you trust Him with your soul? He can take care of you. When you see this person riding this colt, you can trust Him. He's offering salvation. He's just. Look for that colt. Jerusalem missed it. You know the thing about a colt? Is that they are very rebellious. Can you, y'all seen donkeys in the movies, right? Stubborn. They even acquired a nickname that goes to some people whenever they're being hard-headed. Yet, they're leading a colt. one with a rebellious spirit that says, no, I don't want to be without my mom. I don't want to be ridden, and he would buck. You know, that's what colts do. You don't just get on them. Those things buck. And he's going to be going crazy when Jesus gets on him, right? Not this one. That's what makes this a miracle. That's what makes it so unique that they, without any possibility of missing it, people don't do that every day. Not and walk away. They might limp away, head to the doctor. That's what would happen if they tried to get on a colt. It's just the science is against Jesus getting on that and riding it into Jerusalem amongst all those people and everything ending well. But when Jesus is on him, he's calm. He's letting the master ride him. There's no worry about him getting upset at the people around and trying to kick. You know, when I grew up in southern Arkansas, there was these Stanley twins there, and they had been around horses their whole life. Well, one day, one walked around the back of this horse, and it startled him a little bit, kicked him right in the head, killed him. He was familiar with it. So can you imagine all the chaos? Everybody screaming, Hosanna, Hosanna, flopping their coats at the donkey, hitting him with branches as they're laying the palms down in front. That event's a miracle. If you don't think so, I challenge you. Go find yourself a colt, pick one about a year old, get on him, and go riding through the mall. See how that ends. Yeah, Sister Mary's like, that is not going to end well for anybody. That thing's going to go crazy. That's exactly why it's a miracle. Now I want you to think. Because Jesus always wants a point for everything, right? Like a colt. Well, I want to draw an application here because this isn't in the Scripture. But I just want to think about this colt just for a second. His attitude, his mentality. Like, is he any different than I am? When people get on my case, you know what I want to do? When they get on my back, I want to buck. When I get around a lot of people that are driving me a little bit bananas, I want to leave. And I'm not afraid to run over whoever's in the way. You know, if I need to get out of there, that's me. I'm just like this colt. But when Jesus is with me, I can handle a whole lot of junk. Because he's with me. Because he's not just riding. He's a part of me. And this colt got the relationship of his life. Now, I know a lot of you, we've talked about the peacemaker. We've talked about all those other things today. But for a second, I just want you to picture yourself. What if I were that colt and Jesus Christ was with me? And we were riding through town together. How would I act? What kind of relationship would I have? Jesus would pray for you one day. And he would say, I want you to be one as the Father and I are one. He would say, I want to be one with you. And he says, I'm going to give you something. I'm going to give you my comforter. And I'm going to seal my Holy Spirit inside of you so that wherever you go, you have me with you. What does your relationship look like with the Master? Are you a miracle today or are you still bucking? Are you still trying to get him off your back? Because the way I read the Scripture is that he's talking to people that you just can't get around the Scripture and God not try to speak to you with it. And he's talking to you. And he's telling you these are some things that you need to fix in your life. This is the problem that you have. Your relationship with me is not quite the way it needs to be because of this, 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 and this. And you need to get it fixed. Are you bucking? Or have you tamed yourself for the master? Do you have that relationship? You know, he wants to do to you just like he did to this colt. He wants to send somebody to loose you, to bring you to him. That's what he wants. And you know, once you're free, the scripture says the truth will make you free. You know, once you're free, this is what you want to do. You desire to look for those other colts out there, someone who is just like you, who's bucking against God with their whole life, and you want to loose them. You want Jesus to get a hold of them and to have that relationship with them, to loose them and make them free. Jesus wants you to be that disciple too, to loose and to bring another colt to him so that he can also have that type of relationship that we just talked about. Don't fight anymore. Just give in, just like this colt did. And then, can you imagine this colt? He's walking through Jerusalem. There hasn't been too many entrances into Jerusalem like this. But the people are standing around, singing Hosanna, laying down their coats and their palms. Got to prepare the way for you. And sometimes he even uses other people to do it. In fact, that's the way he does it most of the time. Remember that passage in Luke where it says, "Give and it shall be given unto you, pressed down, mashed, shall others give to you." Because of the heart that's inside of them, the heart that God is driving, got to prepare the way before you. If you would do like this colt, just renew that relationship with your master. Quit bucking. Say yes to the offer of peace. Sign that peace treaty today and say, "Jesus, I want you to be my propitiation today." Say yes to Jesus. No to this world. Yes to your Savior. And make peace with your Maker. As the song leader and the pianist come, would y'all pray with me? Dear Lord, I just want to ask that you would be with all your people today. That if there's anybody here who doesn't know you as their Lord and Savior, that today will be that day that you'll just touch them, Lord, with the power that comes from on high. Lord, I know that there's some people here today that they do have burdens, that they've been fighting a war in their life, and they don't understand it. Lord, you didn't ask us to understand it. You told us that we're not fighting against flesh and blood. We're fighting against the principalities and the rulers of darknesses in high places. Lord, help us to understand correctly what's really going on and to trust you with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And I just ask that you would reach out to your people today and draw them to yourself. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You wouldn't stand